Hi, this is Nat Metcalf. Flyhawk have developed a unique 3D kit designer that's fully customable, so if you're looking for a new kit for your team for the new season, visit flyhawk.com or email info@flyhawk.com with your ideas now.
Nation Player is the easy-to-use, one-stop radio and audio app. Download Nation Player now on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Nation Player, we're on. Are you?
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, Britt Carter from ABC and the Netty Live podcast join me. Who better to look at Super League introducing the Super Shot for 2025? Britt, where do we start?
Oh, goodness. Where would you like to start, Andy?
Well, I think the message I sent you and Kate was good grief. And I think that summed up my feelings.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, right, the Super Shot has changed so much about the game here in Oz, about like in our league. So I will admit that it's hard not to get excited when someone's putting up the long shots, and it's kind of like this manufactured excitement, but it still works. But I still overall have really mixed feelings about the Super Shot in netball, and I certainly hope it doesn't make its way into test netball, like, you know, the international game, which is what I am most worried about by the NSL adopting it, given that the NSL and world netball are so closely aligned in the UK. So that's where I'm worried the game is headed. But yeah, let's get into some of the changes that it's basically made in the Australian League.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the thinking behind it maybe is next season we'll have a next-gen curtain opener, then the main Super League game. Obviously, Super Shot are part of it, and it's, I don't know, England's thinking is maybe just building around the main Super League fixture.
Well, I think many Australian fans have come to accept it now because we've had it here for five seasons, but there's this myth that it actually makes games closer. And I would say there's no data that's been shown here to the media or to people that follow the game to prove that it actually does make games closer. Because in our semi-finals, for instance, that happened just this year, there was a game between the Vixens and Thunderbirds that blew out to 25 points. And the Fever and Sunshine Coast Lightning game was closer, but that was also out by 10 points. So there's this myth that it makes games closer, but we actually saw huge margins in some of the rounds this year, particularly with teams that were struggling. So you'll find that teams that are struggling try and use it more because they're so desperate to catch up in a game. But often what it does is it masks any of the issues that they have in that first 10 minutes of a quarter, because if they can shoot long, like a Helen Housby or a Sophie Dwyer, perhaps, who are probably two of the biggest Super Shot shooters in our league, they can rely on that in the last 5 minutes of a quarter. And as I said, it just masks some of the issues they have in the first 10 minutes. And so there were times where the Swiss and the Giants put up a lot of Super Shots in a game and it still didn't help their cause. So yeah, I just love to break this myth that it makes the games closer, because that really is not the case. Like, it doesn't always work. I think when it works is if a game is within reach. So say the game is within 5 to 10 points when we enter that last 5 minute period, that's when it starts to get really interesting, because 2 points extra per goal can really make a difference. But if teams are behind by 15, 20 goals, which is some of the examples I saw people use, oh, if a team's really behind by halftime, it's so boring to watch. But if a team is behind by that much heading into a final quarter anyway, it's not often that they're making that deficit up. They're still losing those games. So that's a myth that I would like to bust. But Super Netball won't share that data about whether it makes games closer or not, because my gut feeling is that it doesn't make games closer and it's not in their interest to share that data.
We often place a bit of an emphasis over here on the third quarter being the quote-unquote championship quarter. But from what you said there, introducing the Super Shot isn't really going to make that much difference if everything's made up almost in that last quarter where the main emphasis is and any subs are made, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get across, is that people think it's going to be like this magic thing they bring into the game, and all of a sudden every game is down to like one goal, two goal. But I write a Super Netball wrap each week, and in round two of the 2024 season, I had this section of this opinion that I was trying to make, where it says, "Is the league as close as we think?" Because leading into the season, every one of the Super Netball captains was saying, "Oh, I can't predict a winner. We're just so close this year." But in round two, there was a total margin of 40 goals between the winners and their opposition across the four games. And there were matches won by 19 goals, 25 goals. So again, it actually doesn't make games closer. And it's being told and sold to us that way for people to go, "Oh, this will be more exciting." But it's again that manufactured excitement at the end of a quarter. And so to really explain some of the things it's done to our game here, so some of the things that I've noticed is that the best teams don't rely on it. So you'll often find that the top five super shot scorers for the year come from teams that don't make finals. For instance, Housby, Dwyer, Donnell Wallum, none of their teams made finals, and they were in the top five for super shots. Then you've also got the top goal shooters in the league. So the shooters that put up the most goals each year are generally tall holding shooters that post ones, not twos. So that's interesting, right? Because if they're the most dominant shooters in the game, then why is the super shot so lusted after and wanted? It's changed recruitment here. So now you really need, in our squad of 10, someone that can score long bombs, and often that player will be left on the bench until the last 5 minutes of a quarter. Sometimes they won't even get on in a game. Sometimes they'll only get on for the last 5 minutes of a game, and all their job is to do is to shoot those long bombs. So it's changed recruitment. And what I would also say is that even if you become good at that job, it doesn't necessarily cement your position in the lineup. So Gabby Sinclair would be a great example, because she saved the Mavericks time and time again throughout 2024 using that super shot. And yet, look where she is now. She's not in an Australian team. She's been sent back to the UK. So she'll be a great one in the NSL, and she'll be able to show everyone how to use it and maybe some of the tactics that Australians have employed. But it's unfortunate that you could be pigeonholed as a super shot shooter, and then the very next year go, "Okay, where am I going? Because this team didn't hold on to me." So that maybe shows how much worth they hold in a team as well. The score has sometimes been wrong, so it's been a huge adjustment for umpires and scorekeepers, because it sounds like it's all pretty clear cut, but if someone has their foot a teeny bit over the line and it's not noticed, it should be a one and not a two. There's been times where an umpire has accidentally indicated a one and not a two, or a two and not a one.
And
And so
that
that
adds
can
to the
get.
delay. I've seen them games.
Yes. And then they've got to go back and count back and check, right? So it can get a bit murky, but once the umpires get the hang of it, it tends to run pretty smoothly. There's just moments here and there where it does stuff things up. There's changed language around the game. So we're not really calling a score now goals, because it doesn't really indicate the full breadth of how a team scored. So if I was to say to you the Fever scored 80 goals in a game, that's not really quite true, because there were 2-point goals scored in that game. So I noticed that the NSL press release said it will be a two goal super shot, which is exactly how Super Netball sold it to us in the beginning. But that gets really confusing when I'm again telling you the overall score, because I'm not getting any depth there about the amount of super shots that contributed to that. So in AFL footy here, there's like a way of reading a score. So there's like an overall score, and it's referred to as points. And then there's a goal behind overall points score that can be read as well. It breaks it down for you when you give that score goal. So yeah, I wonder if netball needs to adopt something like that moving forward, or if we just embrace points over goals, which has always been a bit of a no-no in netball land. Like, it's always been goals, and people get really fed up with that when you do use points. But it's honestly the only way to really indicate what's going on in a game these days.
And we are a few seasons into the Super Shot over there, but is it properly embedded now as part of the league, regardless of what we think of the actual rule?
Yeah, I think we've just come to accept it. I wouldn't say we totally embrace it, but It is here to stay. It's not a kind of rule that you can bring in and then abandon because it was so controversial that you've kind of got to you got to stick with it, right? Like once it's in, you got to stick with it. So I unfortunately don't ever see it going away. As I said, there are times where I'm watching games and you do start to get excited and think, oh, they could come back here. But there's also a lot less accuracy because they're longer shots. There was all this talk about when it came in of it encouraging our Australian shooters to shoot longer in diamonds games, and also just in general. And I would say in the first 10 minutes of every quarter, they're not necessarily shooting long because there's no incentive to do that because there's no 2 points on offer. So I don't know that it's had that effect just yet. We've got a moving circle in the diamonds at the front of the diamonds playing seven right now with Garbin and Austin. But I think that kind of thing comes in waves. We just don't really have a tall posting shooter at the moment to go to unless you pick a Donnell Wollum, who I've been arguing needs to be in the squad for, you know, in the actual team for a while. But
Ever.
we just don't have a Caitlin Bassett kind of player at the moment of her height and of her stature that can hold under the post. So moving circle is what we have out of who is available and just what's there. I don't necessarily think we're shooting longer because the super shot is in our domestic league.
Hi, this is Gabby Sinclair, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
The Netball Show with Fly Hawk, Britt Carter from ABC and the Netty Live podcast join me. Do you reckon England could have approached this so much differently?
I think so. I think what I've found disappointing is that there have been some people online that are blindly following the NSL and saying to fans that may be a little bit negative online and not want the super shot, well, you've just got to get on board and you need to be positive and this is the way forward. But I think fans do have a real right to ask why and question what the validity of it is because it was sort of thrust upon us here and it started a lot of angst between fans and players with the governing body in Australia because we had done a couple of surveys leading into that decision and we'd said, no, we don't want it. And they still brought it in anyway, and players weren't really consulted in that decision-making process. The other thing that the NSL did, which is exactly what Australia did, is really letting people know kind of after the squads were signed, because that makes a massive deal. As I said, we've now got people that are being signed as purely super shot shooters. So if you've already signed your team for the year and there's a 2-point shot in play, that could be your downfall essentially next season if you don't have someone that can shoot those long bombs and really work under pressure. So look, we haven't ever received, as I said, any proof here that the super shot did what it was brought in to do. One, to make games more exciting and more close. It's manufactured excitement and it's not making games any closer. The other thing it was supposedly brought in for is to introduce new fans to the game. And our crowds have gone up over the course of this year, and so are the memberships. But again, there's no data to link that back to the super shot. There's a whole other things, a whole range of other things it could be. It really could be the amount of work that the clubs are doing to make sure that their game day experience is fun and inviting and people want to come back. It could be to do with the rise of women's sport and more coverage in general. The Matildas here and the FIFA World Cup was a massive wave of you know, change that swept our country in terms of embracing women's sport and turning up and showing your support for these athletes. So that has had a knock-on effect for a range of women's sports here. So there's really nothing to say that any of that success comes back to the super shot. It is a commercial aspect that you can add to the game. It's named after a bank here, and there are some opportunities with that to funnel some more money into the sport. But as I said, with all those things I've just listed, there's no real way of, I guess, measuring whether it has done what the governing body said it was going to do. And I think even now it is still quite controversial, even though we may have accepted it, most fans. There will be people that tell you, and also probably defenders in the game that tell you that they still don't quite love it. So I just hope it never reaches the international game.
Yes, we love the sport, but without fans, that feeling of fans not having their opinions and views matter. What have they got?
Well, they've already put people offside getting rid of some of the teams that they had and rebranding, right? So there's already a
Don't
section of
talk
the
to me about
NSL.
that. Still
I
sore.
know. I know. Of course you are, because you're so passionate about the sport and one of the reasons that you follow it so intensely. And so there would be a range of people like you, Andy, in the UK, who already feel offside with the NSL and England netball right now because they feel like they've been shunned, or they feel like they had the door shut on them. And this is the thing, right? When you start to play that game of fans don't know what they want and fans shouldn't get a say, and fans are just being negative, it really starts to create an angst and a tension within the community that can be damaging. I believe when the Super Shop was brought in here in 2020, a few weeks before our COVID delayed season started, that that was the start of a very long passage of controversies that ultimately led to two key figures at the organization last year being axed. And Marina Go was one of the people that really insisted on bringing the Super Shot in. Kelly Ryan, to be fair, wasn't around at that time. She came in 2021 to Netball Australia, so the rule was already in place by that point. But there were decisions made by Netball Australia along those same lines of turning their backs on fans, turning their backs on players, and going, we know what's best for this sport and you don't. So basically, you just need to get on board with whatever we want to do. And that was a pattern of behavior that really started to lead to their downfall, because in the end, as you know, in that CPA negotiations, it really led to players actually digging their heels in finally and saying, this is enough. We are fed up. And the only way we have any power now is to refuse to sign these documents and drag these negotiations out. And in the end, they won due to public pressure, right? But the players and the AMPA, the Players Association, and the fans, I think, really bound together in that moment last year to say, hang on, this isn't right. That's what led to an overhaul. And now we've got some new people in place. Liz Ellis is at the head of Netball Australia. We've got Stacey in charge now as CEO as well. And there's a real shift in embracing fan culture, embracing player opinion now, treating them as stakeholders, using their opinions and keeping them in that decision-maker process. So that needed to happen like 3 to 4 years ago. It's finally happened now. But again, I think it's a very slippery slope when it comes to that kind of attitude and the way you treat fans.
Like you said, clubs only realistically found out about this rule change once teams had been selected as such. And I know Karen Gregg from Manchester Thunder put something online. That to me, again, is a bit of a concern for me.
Yeah, and they said in their tweets that they were on board now because there had been some consultation after the announcement. But why are you having that conversation afterwards instead of before? That is a very easy way to get clubs offside as well. And if this NSL is going to be as good as they want it to be and be the new era of netball in the country, then it really needs to bring everyone along the journey with it. It can't just be shutting the doors on all the stakeholders that say no to the ideas they want to bring in. Like that's not how great sport works, because you end up putting people offside. And, you know, from what I saw from some of the crowds at the England Jamaica series, they need everyone to be onside. Like they need everyone to show up and embrace this new NSL and all the really bold changes they're going to
And the
make to this
arenas
league.
and things like that, yeah.
Exactly. There's going to be bigger arenas to fill. And so they need as many fans as they can get. They really don't need to be basically pissing people off at this point. So I appreciate that the evolution of the game has to happen. And I appreciate they've adopted a few key things from the Super Netball League to try and get to that professional era. But I just think they could have handled this very differently. And maybe there wouldn't be so much anger around the decision once again.
Let's end on smiley topic. We're going to have Gabby Sinclair as part of Birmingham Panthers. How important will she be for them next season?
I
Wonderful
think
player.
she's a wonderful player and a wonderful person. And I'm really sad that she didn't get that Mavericks contract. It was just such a shame after everything she did for them this year that there was no spot for her. Sasha Glasgow coming back from injury and Simona Jock getting signed essentially as a full-time player. So it will be very interesting to see how Gabby goes in the NSL. She's been there and she's played before. And as I said, she's made this Super Shot her own. She's a real specialist in that area. So, you know, the Panthers have been quite savvy in picking her up, because not only will she know how to use that to her advantage, but she may be able to give the defenders and some of the other players some tips on how to get around it or nullify it. So she is going to play a crucial role for the Panthers, and I just hope she kills it this year in the NSL.
England netball are promising plenty of new innovations ahead of next season. First of many, but wait and see.
I'd like to see something different. Bring a new innovation in, you know. If this is what this new league is going to be about, bring something different in that we haven't seen before and try and wow us all, and maybe there'll be a rule that we want to adopt in 2026. Who knows? But right now it just feels like copy and paste everything Super Netball is doing. And
that's a good phrase to use. Brilliant.
Yeah, it honestly does feel like that.
Well, there's more chat about this with you and Kate, who've done the Extra Netty Life podcast, if we don't speak before the end of the year. Thanks for another great year of Netty Life podcast, Britt, and all the best for Christmas and New Year.
You too, Andy. Merry Christmas.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sports and we're on the podcasts rail.